Welcome to the Road Ahead Cafe. Hang on to your hat and enjoy the ride, because you're about to get some powerful insights and practical hacks that will take your daily life to the next level. And now, here are your hosts, Rick, Frank, and Peter.
Welcome back to the Road Ahead Cafe. I'm your host, Rick Gabrielli, and I'm here with Frank Vandenhorst and Peter M. Fellows. And today, in the Behind the Words, we're going to talk about what you hate in others, you see in yourself. Whew. Peter, what will you be sharing with us today?
Thank you, Rick. I'm going to say that this statement is mostly true. It's great to be back here with you and Frank and our great audience. I can't believe my luck. Not that I'm here. I just found $20 in my pants here. Nice. But so what you hate in others, you see in yourself. I'd score it 4 out of 5. I hope to show that, especially for those of you in the audience who might disagree, you know, who might think, no, Joe's definitely a bum. Not that there's anything wrong with that. And I wish the universe will rain down blessings on his lazy ass. And I hate that about him, that he's the bum, but I don't see that in myself. I'm definitely not a bum. So I'll be speaking to that. And hopefully what I say won't bum you out. Okay, Rick?
Thank you, Peter. I'm wondering how our Netherlands audience is going to hear. What is the word bum in Dutch? Frank, what do you got?
I'll translate it for you later. Okay. We are mirrors to each other. We are constantly projecting, reflecting thoughts when you're interacting, mentally and physically. Thinking about someone you hate, or put it milder, you dislike, emotion starts to pop in immediately. Your adrenaline level starts to rise and you maybe start to sweat also. Thoughts create feelings. Feelings create a physical reaction, always. These physical reactions can be seen as wake-up calls. It was Carl Jung who said, everything that irritates us about others can lead us to an understanding of ourselves. Everyone is our mirror. Our own reflection in others shows us not only who we are, but also what we can embrace and change. I'm going to talk about this much more, and I share with you a personal story, what happened to me. And I hope you find something that reflects also with your thoughts and feelings. Okay, Rick, what about your thoughts about this?
Thank you, Frank. Well, you know, as soon as I looked down at my notes and I heard you say, we are all mirrors, I think, well, because I have written here, we are all mirrors, and using it for good. So we agree totally on this one. And so, you know, what I want to talk about today is how we learn to judge, and then, you know, that programming and you know, how it plays out in our early years. And then maybe one day when we finally wake up, right, and we realize that either it doesn't feel good to us or the people around us when we do that. And, you know, when I saw this Behind the Words coming across the text from you guys, what you hate in others, you see in yourself, it really did, you know, kind of make me contract a little bit. So it is something that kind of wakes us up. So I want to talk about reprogramming our thoughts and opinions. Peter, you want to go a little deeper?
Okay, sure. What you hate in others, you see in yourself. And I read it that as mostly true, and I give it 4 stars out of 5 for accuracy. I think I would put it, what you hate in others is what you fear is in you. I think that would perhaps be more on the mark. It's not that what you hate in others is how you are. It's that what you hate in others, you're actively resisting in yourself. So you see Charlie, he's always being late, and you hate that. Now, are you always late? No. You're not always late. You see that in him. You hate that about him, but you're not always late. You make sure you get there 5 minutes early every single time. But perhaps you don't recognize you're being kind of OCD about that, and the need to get there at the time. And the reason that you are that way is because you fear that aspect of yourself that could give rise to choosing to be late, and you judge it's a bad thing. So you're working hard to make sure you're on top of it. That same thing that's in Charlie, you're on top of it, you're in charge of it. And the clue is that it's going to be an issue for you, that it's not just something that you think about. The clue is how much you hate it in another person. And I use the term hate. The more visceral your reaction to this characteristic in a person, the more likely this is an issue for you. Now, some people might prefer to be on time, and so they make sure they are. But being late is not a trigger. If it happens, it happens. No big deal. They're sorry. But for you, it's a mortal sin worthy of execution. So whether that trait is really in you or whether it was there in the past and you've conquered it, you still see the shadow of it and you're still reacting to it. And the irony is that this trait, which perhaps you worked so hard to overcome because it negatively impacted you so much of your life, still controls you. It's like when you hate a person so much, you don't want to be around them because you don't want them to influence in your life. I don't need that in my life. Big phrase. Then you spend a tremendous amount of time thinking about them to make sure that they're not going to be in your life at the function you're going to or the meeting you're at. And perhaps you even skip a function because they're going to be there and you want to avoid them. And if they are at a function and you have to keep tabs on them where they are all the time so you can ignore them. You need to know where they are in order to ignore them. What you resist persists. And perhaps that's a topic we'll do in another segment. As come to think of it, episode 14, where we discuss everyone always does the best they can. That might be worth listening to in connection with what we're talking about today. Now, you may notice, for example, a person is self-centered. And you may also notice that this particular trait doesn't really bother you. They're self-centered, so what? That's what they're like. It's funny. But it doesn't mean you don't have it just because you don't hate that trait in the other person. For me, for example, I might notice that someone is not very thoughtful of other people, but that doesn't bother me because everyone does the best they can do. And while it's true that if I notice I wasn't thoughtful of someone in some instance, I don't get all stressed out because you do the best you can, it's also true that because I don't like to think of myself as not being thoughtful of others, my brain can actually stress me out when faced with the decision about which there are, say, two actions I should take, and I have to figure out which is the most thoughtful. I might want to complete what I'm doing now because to leave it incomplete might be judged thoughtfulness by someone else. But at the same time, if I don't immediately rush to help someone else and leave that, then I perceive my need to help. They might judge me as thoughtless for that. Fortunately, I know what to do when my brain starts to freak out. I just ask my deeper self, my pathfinder, where is my most fulfilling path here? And then I see what comes up. And that's where I go. And if you feel great anger towards the person who is, let's say, lazy, there's an easy and simple way to mitigate that feeling. And it seems counterintuitive, but it's really cool. Embrace that aspect of yourself. Say, I'm lazy. I'm self-centered, whatever it is. And I get that you might bristle at this and say, yeah, but I'm not lazy. I go out of my way to make sure I'm not lazy. That's cool. And the reason you hate laziness in people is because you fear being lazy yourself. So you go out of your way to make sure you're not. So you guard against the quite normal slight urges to take it easy once in a while, which is good for you, by going to the other extreme. So if you embrace that and say, hey, I'm lazy. I can be lazy. Even when you feel it's not true about you, you give yourself permission to be a teeny weeny eeny bit lazy and relieve the stress that's inside. Now, here's the cool thing, though. Any negative trait is, in fact, a positive trait taken too far. You think a person's stubborn? They're just determined, but they're taking it too far. Think of any negative trait you fear you have in you. And think about how beneficial it might be if it was just reined in a little. And why do we overdo anything? Pack more underwear than we could possibly use on one trip? Fear. So, for example, I know this person that others have complained about. They say he's lazy. And I observed that he works very hard at avoiding work. He seems to always be thinking, now, how can I avoid doing work here? And he puts a lot of effort in seeming to be busy doing something very important, and that's why he can't help out. And he's worried all the time that he'll end up having to help people out, fear. So let your anger at the way other people are be your guide to what fears your brain has, and let your non-conscious mind, your pathfinder, find you your most fulfilling path forward. Want to talk more about mindful pathfinding? Come to mindfulpathfinding.com, but wait till the show is over. Back to you, Rick.
Good stuff, Peter. Wow. Frank, you want to go a little deeper on your points?
Yes. I'm going to tell a personal story, and I call it's about me and a friend I call Jack, just for this audience. Something about Jack ruffled my feathers. Whenever we made an appointment, he came late. Yes, Peter, he came late. Always with an excuse, some, to my opinion, relevant, and some not, and it started to annoy me. Although he was a very nice guy, I was seeing him less and less. One day he called me, "Hey, Frank, how are you going?" "Fine," I said, and I paused. I felt an irritation rising in my body, and at the same time, I liked to hear his voice.
Yeah.
We started to chat, and Jack wanted to make an appointment. I was confronted with an ambiguous feeling. At one hand, I felt that I wanted to see him. I liked the guy. And at the same time, I didn't want to wait an hour again. So what to do? I felt the anger slip into my voice, and the conversation started to be less friendly. I told him quite frankly, to use my name, what I thought about his behavior. Jack didn't like my tone of voice, and he said that he expected much more flexibility and understanding from a friend. Then he hung up. Holding my phone in my hand, I asked myself what was happening. The mirror. Was he right and I wrong? Is this what I wanted? Should I be more flexible and understanding? Was I always on time? I didn't check my emotions at the door. My judgment and condemnation were like unguided missiles. Once on track, they couldn't be diverted anymore. Well, I said to myself, you cannot change what you do not acknowledge. Looking in that mirror, it felt very uncomfortable for me. Yes, I could be a little bit more flexible and understanding. I could have addressed my feelings much earlier in a less confrontational way. I knew I could be that way. The next day, Jack called me. He said he didn't sleep quite well last night and talked about our conversation with his wife. She said, quite frankly, that I was right and that she recognized his behavior also. We talked it over and had some laughs and made a new appointment. I felt good afterwards, but I realized more than ever that I must check my ego at the door more often, and even better, the drivers behind it. I wanted to be understood, to be taken seriously, to be listened to, but I have first to give in order to receive. That was my lesson. Rick, over to you.
Wow, Frank, that was a mic drop moment right there.
Wow.
Powerful. Whew. Man, between Jack and Charlie and Joe, what a day.
The whole bunch.
So here's what I've got on this. So how do we become more aware of our programming? Because, you know, anytime we see something in someone else and we show displeasure and we especially hate on that, what is it in our programming that's really bringing that to the surface? How do we move past that or grow out of it? And I distinctly remember, you know, in my life as a kid growing up, you know, just kind of driving, you know, mostly it was like in the car, my mother or father would say something. And especially my father was really funny about like saying something funny about somebody that maybe we just kind of drove past on the street. And it was just a stranger most of the time, you know, we would make a funny comment. And you know, sometimes I would just pass it off as his sense of humor. But then sometimes I would think, wow, you know, how does he know that about the person? So as a young boy, I didn't know, you know, the ways of the world then. So I was being programmed at that time to really pick out things about people and judge people. So next thing you know, I'm a you know, teenager, and I'm in school, and I'm, you know, dealing with all of the things that the social environment brings on. And this is one of them. So we're constantly, you know, picking out something that we either like or don't like about someone. And, you know, when it feels good and when it's positive, of course, nobody pays any attention to it. But when it's negative and when it's hateful, especially, where is that really coming from? And most of the time, as you both have so eloquently said, we don't have any basis for this. We really don't know the person. We really don't know, especially what they may be struggling with or what their own programming is.
Yeah.
So is this coming from a place of inferiority or ignorance? Is this someone thinking, well, inferiority, this is subconsciously planned. I want to judge them and put them down to make myself feel better. You know, if I comment about that guy or gal, I'm basically elevating myself in some way. But once you become aware that it's just the opposite that's true in the world, and if you're lucky enough to catch that and really not destroy too many relationships or close too many doors or burn bridges, you'd be lucky. Is it ignorance? We're just not aware of our words and actions, and as Frank said, the impact that they have on people and really on ourselves. As you know, that famous Japanese doctor, I forget his name now, did with the water studies, and that the words on water formed, when they were positive, beautiful molecules, and when negative, very jagged molecules. So this stuff is hurting us much more than it's hurting the other person, even though it may look on the surface like it's hurting them. So my wish for you today, if you're watching or listening, is be kind. Everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle. Peter, back to you.
Yes, I'm fighting a particularly hard value battle. So you guys have to be very kind to me, okay?
Yeah.
I think everything you said was quite valid. And I'd just like to remind people that what you hate in others is what you fear you have in yourself. You can lose that aversion to them simply by embracing that trait, even if you don't think you have it. Every negative trait is actually a positive one, which your brain, in a misguided attempt to protect you and your self-worth, has just taken too far. And no matter what situation, problem, or goal you're dealing with, always turn to your own pathfinder to find the most fulfilling path forward for you. And always turn to Rick, Frank, and I each week here on the Road Ahead Cafe, where we do our level best to enlighten you and to lighten your load for the road ahead. Rick?
Thank you, Peter. Frank, you want to close us out?
Yes. What you hate in others, you see in yourself. But there is an antidote for thoughts like these, and it's called the Golden Rule, which states, what you wish upon others, you wish upon yourself. It always reflects back. You know what you just said, Rick, be kind to one another. HBR, Harvard Business Review, wrote an article about this, and it is actually researched that being kind, just being kind, which is something completely different than being right and the other is wrong. Yeah. But being kind and kindness makes a great difference in the workplace. How you relate, how you feel, how you start your day, how you connect with other people, clients, etc., and how you go home. So be kind to one another, I think, is extremely important. If you want to know more about it, just connect me to go to my LinkedIn profile or connect me and go to www.frankweiss.nl. And remember, as always, what you think about and think about, you'll bring about. Have a wonderful day.
Good stuff, Frank. Thank you. So my final thoughts on this, have the mirror in mind. Just remember, it's two-way. Be aware. You'll be so much better, and so will those around you. Thank you for joining us today at the Road Ahead Cafe. Remember, if you like us, subscribe. If you love us, make a 30-second selfie video right now to tell us why. Don't be shy. Might even make it to our website. And we look forward to getting together with you next week. Again, until then, savor your day today.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Road Ahead Cafe. Hungry for more? Don't miss out. Follow this channel and be sure to subscribe to our email at theroadaheadcafe.com. Thank you for stopping by. See you next time.